Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Today we continue our study on heaven as we take a look at what heaven is like today. The Bible gives us a window into the third heaven found there in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Before we look into the third heaven, however, I want to remind you what is going on in the first and second heaven at the time of the angelic war that takes place there in the first and second heaven at the midway point of the tribulation. Please take your Bible and let's go to Revelation chapter 12.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Look what happens in the heavens, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Verse 13 indicates he's going to intensify his persecution and destruction, and ultimately hoping for the annihilation of the Jewish people. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now that's another apocalyptic term. Early on in chapter 12, it defines that woman who brought forth the man-child as Israel, because it was a Jewish woman who did bring forth the man-child, Jesus Christ. And as you continue to read here in chapter 12, you see how the devil and his evil angels are going to do everything possible to destroy the Jewish people. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These evil angels, led by Satan, know that indeed if they can wipe out the Jewish people, then God is incapable of keeping his promises. The Abrahamic covenant, there'll be a nation forever. That's Genesis chapter 15. Deuteronomy 30, the land covenant, they'll have a piece of real estate 10 times what they have today, and that will be forever. And the fact is, the Davidic covenant, the establishment of a kingdom on the earth with Jesus Christ building a temple in the city of Jerusalem where he will rule and reign for a 1,000-year period of time, and into eternity future. That covenant will not be kept. Now, these are all to the Jewish people. The Abrahamic covenant, the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 introduces the new covenant, and it says that new covenant is given to Israel and Judah. Christians are not a part of the new covenant, with the exception that we derive benefits from it. The new covenant is given to the Jewish people. You need to make certain of that. We don't take promises given to the Jews and appropriate them for ourselves. But the fact is, then, Satan is going to be cast out of the heavenlies because he and his evil angels are going to try to do everything they possibly can to destroy the Jews so God fails and Satan comes to power and the leader. And that was his motive. That's what he had to say in Isaiah chapter 14. Go back to Revelation chapters 4 and 5 just a moment, and let me show you the best description of heaven that we have today. There's not a lot that we know about it. I'm not sure that some of the books that have been written out there have all the information correctly. I want you to hold them accountable to the Word of God as well. Speculation is not our responsibility, and we should not be doing it. Spiritualizing Scripture is a very dangerous thing. There's a technical interpretation to all of Scripture, a spiritual application, but, and we can appropriate truths for ourselves, but we cannot spiritualize the Scriptures. I do not like to hear a man teaching the Word of God who spiritualizes the Scripture. It becomes very subjective when you start to spiritualize the Scripture. In other words, taking something and telling you what he thinks it means. Well, that's subject to what he has studied, whoever may be influencing him. What does the Word say? God gave us a Word that we are to study, has an absolute, detailed interpretation for it, we need to look at that. So having said that, let's look and see in these two chapters, chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, what we can find out about heaven. Remember in chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus shouts, Archangel shouts, trumpet God sounds. What does he shout? Maybe what is here in chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. And John the Revelator leaves the Isle of Patmos, I believe, as was that one that Paul knew 14 years before, and they will go into the heavenlies. John, I believe, goes into the heavenlies with a physical body. I think he's taken there in order to be able to see all that's going to unfold. In chapter 4, verse 1, the rapture, chapter 4, verse 2, he is in the heavenlies. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, this one sitting on the throne is not Jesus Christ. This is God the Father who is seated on the throne. Look at chapter 5, verse 1, just for a second. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. That's God the Father, because Jesus Christ the Son is going to be counted worthy. All will say and proclaim at this time in heaven that Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, should be the one that could open the sealed book. That sealed book in chapter 5 is the title deed to the earth. Remember, the kingdom is going to be given to Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Ancient of Days, God the Father, will give the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the kingdom, his dominion forever and ever and ever. So God the Father is seated on the throne, Jesus Christ at his right hand. And of course, that's what Hebrews confirms as well. Chapters 1, 8, 10, and 12, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. Look back here in chapter 4, verse 6, and see what else that we can see. There's so much in here, but I'm just trying to give you the highlights of what is in the third heaven. Verse 6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion. The second beast like unto a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. I refer to these creatures here now as the throne room angels. There are seraphim that are described and talked about in Isaiah chapter 6. That is one category of angelic creatures. When you come to Ezekiel chapter 1, it talks about the cherubim. And that's another category of angelic creatures. I believe, along with the archangels being maybe a third category, and then we come to the throne room angels. If you'll study Isaiah 6, the seraphim, Ezekiel 1, the cherubim, you'll notice they have similar characteristics, similar descriptions, but they are not all alike. They are totally different in each and every one of them. Notice what it says here, and I believe that what is depicted in these four creatures would be the aspects of the life of Jesus Christ as told to us in the Gospels. Look here in verse 7. The first beast was like unto a lion. The book of Matthew describes Jesus Christ as the Lion of Judah. And then the second beast, like a calf. Or as it's talking about the cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 1, the face of an ox, which is giving indication of a servant. And the book of Mark presents Jesus Christ as the servant. And then it said he had a face of a man. Dr. Luke in the book of Luke talks about Jesus Christ and his manhood. Chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus Christ developed physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. Talking about the God-man, but the man part of Jesus Christ. And then the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And that would represent, of course, deity. And that's how Jesus Christ is presented in the Gospel of John. Now notice what they're doing. Verse 8. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so they are without hesitation or continually involved in praising God and singing, "Holy, holy, holy." We come now then to verse 10, and notice what it says here. And there are 24 elders that are involved. Back over in verse 4, it talks about that as well. Look back in verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, many have questioned what this might be talking about. Is that the 12 apostles and angels? And they tried to deal with what this is all talking about. The 12 tribes, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, etc. I would tell you that I believe this is the church that is represented, seated there on those small seats or very small thrones around the main throne where God is seated. And here's why I make that statement. The number 24 is a number of representation. In other words, it represents certain things. The numbers in the scriptures, 3 represents the Trinity, 7 represents completeness. And so we see these numbers that represent something. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, it talks about the priests divided into 24 segments, these 28,000 priests that would serve at the temple. I believe this is referring to the church seated around the throne. And notice why I make that statement. Again, in verse 4, they were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. We're going to see in verse 10, they're going to cast these crowns at Jesus' feet. Angels, apostles, and are the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel do not receive crowns of gold. We receive crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. At the rapture of the church, the judgment seat of Christ takes place. And for those works that we did in his power for his glory, we receive crowns. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 says, we receive a crown incorruptible. An incorruptible crown. Why? For bringing our body under subjection, making our body do what God wants us to do with that body. Secondly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, we receive a crown of rejoicing. And that's for being a soul winner. The Apostle Paul says to the people of Thessaloniki, what, are ye not my crown of rejoicing? And 3 weeks earlier, he had been there and led all of them to the Lord. And then when you come to James chapter 1 and verse 12, we receive a crown of life. Why? For yielding not to temptation. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to it is. And if we yield not, we receive a crown of life. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, we receive a crown of glory. Why? For helping the body of Christ grow. For mentoring people, for praying for people, for interacting with them, helping them grow in the Lord, we receive a crown of glory. And the final crown of the 5 crowns is a crown of righteousness. The Apostle Paul in Swan Song, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he makes the statement, I ran a race, I fought the fight, I kept the faith. In verse 8, and laid up for me as a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, for all who love the appearing of Jesus Christ, eagerly loving and wanting the rapture to take place. That's a crown of righteousness. Now look at verse 10. In the heavenlies, what do we do with these crowns we received at the judgment seat of Christ? And the 24 elders representing the church fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
What a day that will be. A day when we cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus in thanksgiving for what he has done for us. Jesus deserves all the honor and the glory. Next week, we'll continue our study on heaven today and heaven tomorrow. Remember, heaven tomorrow will be heaven on earth. More on that next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...